Welcome to the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. We invite you to listen in as we discuss how as leaders, we can lead teams to accomplish unthinkable things. Now, here's our hosts, Rodney Wardwell and Jason Sharp.
Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. I'm with Jason Sharp.
Yep.
And this is Rodney Wardwell, and we are two dudes in the Pacific Northwest, pastoring churches, loving people, leading some incredible leaders, and we are excited to be here with you today on this podcast to take a little bit of time to talk about team building. How many of you listening today would be like, I need more people, right?
Always.
Come on.
Always.
Always. Always. If you have more people than you need, well, you need to teach us how you're doing it, first of all, and then, you know, you I don't know.
I've never met a person who's like, you know what? You know, I have too many people. I have more people than what we can do. And I think that, you know, we always, if there's something that we're aspiring to, like, we need to build that team. So,
yes. Yes. And I, you know, it doesn't matter what you lead, you need people, right? Mm-hmm. You made it very clear to us in our first podcast, Jason, that the number one person you always lead is yourself, right? But if all I was leading was me, I'd be bored.
Right.
So, you know, I love having other people on the team. So thankful that God has called other people to come alongside and do work. And, you know, you look at leaders all the way back as far as history will take us. And as long as there were more than one person doing something, it seems like there are always other people coming to their aid, right? And coming alongside of them. And so you need people to help you accomplish what God has called you to do. You need a team around you to accomplish the vision. And so, you know, a bunch of individuals, though, doing their thing is not good. You've got to have people who are working together towards what God has called you to do. And so we're going to just take a little bit of time today to talk about five things that you can do to build your team. Just some things that will help. And the first is just this, Jason: spread the dream and the vision, right? Cast a clear and compelling vision as to why people should want to be on your team, right? I think that's important. A clear and compelling vision. What is that? What do you think? How would you describe that to those that are listening?
I mean, you first of all, you have to have what that clarity of the vision is, right? Mm-hmm. I think I've been in environments when somebody's saying, "Hey, tell me the vision," and I've had to like almost hesitate to be able to clearly communicate that. And then I kind of thought about it later. I'm going, if I can't just clearly communicate it, that means I need to do some work to be able to get that clarity, to craft that vision in order for me to say it. Because if I don't have that clarity, I'm never going to be able to communicate it well. It's definitely not going to be compelling. So compelling vision is something that is inspiring, motivating people to say, you know what? I want to be part of what they're doing. I want to be part of that thing that they're you know, that organization is making that kind of impact. Maybe it's in a community. Maybe it's just in an industry. It's innovation. I don't know. But it's like that compelling vision is I want to be on that team. And to do that, you have to be able to make it clear, probably concise to a certain extent, and definitely compelling.
Yeah. What's your thought process when there's someone on your team who doesn't want to follow the vision?
Well, if there's somebody on the team that doesn't want to follow the vision, I think there has to be a real conversation about, you know, what part of this team, you know, like, why do you like being part of the team? Why are you with the team? What's exciting to you about it? Are you enjoying it? Like, you start asking those personal questions to kind of hopefully mine out from them what is really grabbing their heart. Because there is going to have to be a shift to say, okay, this is where we're going, especially as leaders of existing organizations. If you're like a new leader to an existing group of people, maybe you didn't recruit these people. Maybe they are, you know, maybe they were, they pre, you know, they were there before you. And like now you're going to have to really steer the ship a little bit. It takes longer, but that's where some of that work has to be done. And if they're not a good fit, if they don't see the vision, then you have to start to take steps to either help them see the vision or begin a transition process, because it's not going to be good for you as the leader or them as part of the team.
Yeah, so good. And so I guess for someone that's listening right now and they're navigating maybe someone on their team that, you know, is not necessarily lining up with the vision that they have and is kind of, I don't know, don't want to say necessarily bucking against it, but like they're definitely not 100% embracing it. That the person listening today, just be encouraged. This happens, right? It happens to everyone. There are always people who don't see the vision the way you see it, and that's okay. That doesn't mean they're rejecting you. Right. It means they have a different idea and way of doing things. It just doesn't line up with the plan that God has given to you. There is a danger in them staying on your team unless you can, like Jason was saying, you can help them change that the way they see the vision, and that's possible. There are a lot of times people just need more clarity and where you're taking them. And sometimes they shouldn't be on your team anymore, right? Because when there's two visions, that's division, right? You've got to make sure that the people that are with you, they understand the vision. Now, doesn't mean that you're not going to have disagreements on your team. It just because someone disagrees with one thing and how something might need to be done doesn't mean they're necessarily kicking back against the greater vision, right? It just means they're a person with an idea, and you know, listen to them and then talk through things with them, right? But but when it comes to some of those things that are foundational, that you're like, we're not going to change this. This is who God's called us to be. If they're wanting to push back on those all the time, then you know what? That happens a lot in the NFL, right? Guess what you do? You become a free agent and you go somewhere else and play somewhere else, right? And that's okay. And you know what? You might even root for them on another team, right? And cheer for them because you love them as a person. You just didn't play well together, and that's okay. You know, another thing about that helps spreading the dream and the vision is making sure your team's having fun. Make sure that your team knows that you're winning, right? One thing that keeps the vision going is when there's stories to be telling, right? That's something we do in our meeting every Tuesday, is we circle back to, hey, who's got a great story, right? We call them wins. Who's got a win? That's just a great story of something that someone did that we can celebrate. And keep in front of us the why, right? The reason why we're doing what we're doing. Keeping the vision in front of people is so important. And then how we're tangibly accomplishing that vision, so we see that we're a part of something that's winning, is so big, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay.
Stories is a big part of it. I mean, I love, you know, a friend, Greg Ford, says stories are the scorecard for success. And I love that, mm-hmm. because I feel like it is. It helps us put a tangible face on not just necessarily spreadsheets and numbers. While that does tell a story, and numbers don't lie for the most part, right? What really helps us is having this is what's impacting this person's life. It could be on your team. It could be somebody that you are that you've been interacting with within your organization or outside of your organization. But you can, you know, maybe it's a segment of the population that you are making an impact with. But being able to tell those stories, it galvanizes the whole team, and it helps them understand, look, we're doing this, we're accomplishing the vision of what's happening, and it propels them to kind of keep going and to celebrate those wins. And hopefully it sparks people looking for other stories of how we're winning as a team.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So we've got to cast the vision, right? The second thing is to build a team, you got to recruit. You got to recruit people constantly, right? And that maybe look a little bit different for your context, depending on, you know, what you're leading and all of that. Here in the church world, we're very dependent on volunteer help, right? And people serving. And so, you know, we've just made it really, really clear to all of our team at all of our locations, like there's not one person whose job is just the recruitment of people, but it is all of our job to reach out to people and recruit. And we're not even just recruiting for our departments. We're recruiting for other departments too, right?
Right. Right.
Yep. And so check the beginning of your on-ramp. If you don't have people, then you've got to figure out how to get people to the on-ramp, right? People that you want on your team that are not a part of your team. And, you know, for me, that's when I, you know, even when I go to the coffee shop, you know, and I'm hanging out with the baristas there, I'm going to, you know, some of my favorite restaurants, and I know the people who work behind the counter, you know, they're my friends, but I'm also in the back of my mind thinking, okay, my prayer is they're going to come to our church, and one day I'm going to be able to do life closer with these people, and we're going to be able to serve together. Right.
That's so good. That's so good. I get it. In our world, you know, we're very highly dependent on, you know, seeing people come and reaching people and getting people on a volunteer level to be part of teams. And that's a big part of building the team physically. If you are in an organization where your recruiting is just through a hiring process, it may look a little bit differently, but you have your own parameters for what kinds of people you will be a good fit on your team. And then how you can make that really effective. But if you are in a volunteer driven industry, then I think, yes, how are you constantly recruiting people, equipping your people, the people on your team to think outside of their own area as well, and be able to have conversations with folks that can cross recruit across multiple departments or areas. I think that is so huge because we're all on mission together. We're winning as a team. And if you've come up to somebody and they're like, well, you guys don't do the same thing, but you know they'd be a good fit on the team, but in this other area, that why aren't you the one? You're the one with the relationship. You should be the one recruiting that person.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, something that's really simple that I think a lot of times we forget is the best way to win people is to get to know them as a person, right? Yep. Grab coffee with them. Grab a lunch with them. Do life with them. And you know, the thing that keeps them on your team is the same thing, continuing to just spend time with them. You know, there was a study that was done and by this company, I'm not exactly sure. I have a feeling I think it was In-N-Out Burger. What they did was they looked at all of their metrics across the nation, and they looked at all of the employees that they had on their team, and they were seeing that among young people, like 19 to 25, there was a lot of turnover at all of these restaurants. And they're like, what is it? Why are we, you know, so many months in losing all of these young people? And then they saw this one specific location was keeping that same age demographic for like 2 and 3 years. And they're like, what are they doing that the rest of these other franchises are not doing? And so they went and they sat down with the owner of the store and they said, tell us what it looks like to work for you. What's going on? And he said, well, every week I have a 15-minute sit down with each employee. And they are like, well, what do you talk about? And he's like, how are you doing? How's your mom? You know, how's your school? All those kinds of things. He's like, literally just a conversation to say, hey, you're more than just an employee to me. You're a friend. I want to make sure you're doing well, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of retention that brought caught the eyes of the CEOs of the company, right? And again, that's just the little things, the little investments, the little efforts that it takes to just show someone they're more than a cog in your system, but they're actually a valuable person, a friend, someone you care about.
Yeah, I feel like it's so important. I feel like it's sometimes overused that we kind of say like, hey, we want to make this familial. We want to make this like a family, this team like a family. But it is true. There's a relational component, and this crosses all kinds of organizations, right? So if you're not a volunteer-driven yeah. organization, if you are where your team is all hired staff, this is a critical piece to team building, is creating relational equity inside your team. Yeah. And how can you keep that going and make the team feel like you guys are in close? Doesn't mean you have to do everything all the time. I mean, that's an awesome story. 15 minutes a week, and they're yeah. Outperforming all the other stores, and when it comes to retention and just camaraderie and team building. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it does take consistent, intentional effort to make it happen.
Yeah. Yep. Recruit people. Just a side note to this one before we move on to number three, and I'll have you lead us on number three, Jay, but something that Jeffrey Portman, a friend of ours and founder of this church that I pastor, he always said, was there two types of leaders that you are on your team? And I just always love this. And this is for somebody out there. He said, you need sugar leaders and protein leaders. And I always loved that. And he's like, sugar leaders are those people that are high energy and high fun, and you need to have them because they bring life to the organization. And he says, and then you need to have those protein leaders who, they may not be that person necessarily, but they're people of substance, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you've got to have both. And I wanted to throw that out there as you're recruiting people. Those are also two good things to be looking for. Because if you have an organization that's just full of sugar leaders, it's a party all the time and nothing gets done. If you just have nothing but protein leaders, you're like really rich in substance, but definitely boring. not a fun place to be.
No.
So you need both, Yeah, and I hope that you can kind of go through your list of people on your team and go, oh yeah, we've got a good mix of both.
Exactly. It's like when we were starting out, I was looking for both. And I was like, we need some magnetic leaders. We need sugar leaders, right? We need some people who are just going to be, people are going to gravitate to, because we had some protein leaders. And I was like, we need both, because I feel like if you don't have both, you're too far one or the other, areas.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Number two is recruit constantly, consistently. Yep. Number three is give away responsibility. I think it's really easy for us to hang on to those things that we really want to hold on to, and we feel like nobody can do it quite like us as the leader. We are so reluctant to be able to release that to somebody else's control, to be able to empower other people and to delegate that responsibility correctly. But we have to learn how to do that. We have to make sure that we give away responsibility, because if we do that, then our team can grow and it creates ownership on your team. And it's really going to make your life as a leader better in the long run. Now, what we have to kind of navigate a little bit is that in the short run, the quality may dip a little bit, right? Because it's just not, and that's why we're so reluctant as a leader to hand it off, because we're like, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same quality. Sure. But if you realize that, okay, the quality may dip for a little bit, but by empowering them, giving them ownership, it's actually going to, they're going to be able to take something that's going to free you up as the leader to do the things that only you can do as the leader. And who knows, it's probably going to happen where they're going to take it to a place that you couldn't take it to anyways, because you were thinking about so many other things, and now they've been empowered to take something to. So you have to give it away. And that's really the hard part for us as a leader. You have to show people what to do, how they can start, how they can be effectual, and be able to release it.
Yeah, so good, Jason. And I think Craig Rochelle says that if they can do it 60% as well as you can, let them do it, right?
Let them do it.
Let them take it. Yep, let them take it. Dave Ferguson wrote a book called Hero Maker. If you want to dive deeper into how to do this, it's a great book. I think it will. He's obviously talking about church leadership, but I think you could read it just with leadership in mind and see what he's teaching is so very good. It's very cultural for us here at New Hope. And, again, you mentioned delegating responsibility, and there are wrong ways to delegate. We did a podcast on that a couple of weeks back, so you can go check that out if you want to know how not to delegate. I think what happens is if we're holding on to things without letting other people run with it, we're stifling them, and they're only going to stay for so long, right?
Right.
If you have somebody who is a 32 ounce leader and you're only giving them a Dixie cup amount to lead, they're going to eventually leave and go find somewhere where they can lead, you know? And I would just say this too, you and I both, have a heart for the next generation. You were a young adult pastor. I was a youth pastor for many, many years. We believe in the next generation. And that's often the group of people that gets left out in this because of their age and their inexperience. But even now more than ever, this generation, this millennial generation, this Gen Z generation, it's been said that they want someone to follow and something to lead, mm-hmm. right? And that's what's going to lock them in. And so mm-hmm. we've got to really be getting better at saying, hey, we're Paul, we're handing off to Timothy. We want to hand this off to you and walk alongside of you and help you and be there for you. So yeah, learn to give away responsibility. It's so very important. And the fourth thing is this, grow together intentionally, right? Make a plan to grow people at every level. And then think about like strategically, intentionally training them, right? I think a lot of times we, especially in church world, Jason, all out us, our tribe, right? Especially as us as leaders, we can get so good at just trying to go from Sunday to Sunday that we forget like we've also, it's a responsibility of ours to invest in our people mm-hmm. that are in leadership, right? And to mm-hmm. train them and to challenge them and help them grow, right? So think of ways that we can be resourcing them, whether it's leadership lessons that we're giving them. You know, you and I have talked about this. Really, one of the biggest hearts that we had for wanting to do this podcast together was so that we could have another thing to be able to promote to our leaders that they could listen to so we can invest in them. We don't have the ability more than maybe, 4 or 5 hours a month to be able to speak into their lives. But here's another 25 minutes, two times a month that we get to do this. And so, you know, always having best book recommendations available for them, blogs that they can be reading, podcasts they listen to, videos they can watch. Those kinds of things are so good. And we get the ability to kind of mine those a little bit. We go to conferences like we just did back in March. You know, you're putting on a global leadership summit here coming up in August. And so we can just continually be throwing things like this to our leaders to help them grow so that we can grow them. And I wrote down here, grow them the way you're growing yourself. And then I wrote, uh-oh, that could be scary, right? Because are you as a leader growing yourself? I really hope that you are. I really hope that you are. And so you get leaders, but then also remember you can also grow leaders too.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I mean, it's part of what we really want. And I think when you talked a little bit about those high capacity leaders earlier, and I think those high capacity leaders want to be challenged and they want to grow. And not only if you give them only a little bit of ownership or, you know, of responsibility, will they leave, but if they realize that, hey, I'm not really doing anything here, there's just, that's another recipe for them to seek something out. So if you can grow them, I think it's a big piece to galvanizing your team together. We've talked about wins. We've talked about how we can, you know, clear and compelling vision. I think when we grow together intentionally, we see some of the results from that. I think it's a big deal. And there's so many resources out there that, you know, either from, you know, like you mentioned, and I think one of the ones that we try to do is we go through a Team 365, some resources that really is about growing leadership that they can go in and they can develop on their own, and we can discuss as a team, and it's just really good and how we can lead across the board. And then one of the things we do in our meetings is I ask them, how are you coaching your team? The people that are you know on your sub team, if you will, like how are you making them better? It doesn't have to be revolutionary. It doesn't have to be something that is like from the one meeting to the next is just, you know, monumental. It has to be maybe just slow, consistent. Maybe there's one thing you're working on with maybe one person on your team trying to prove. But let's talk about that to kind of get into their mindset that we should always be growing. We should always be, you know, getting better in our leadership. And so, and that's part of growing together.
That's so good. That's so good. And that leads us to the last thing, which is reproduce yourself repeatedly. right? Everyone on your team must know that their greatest success is their successor, right? I think it was Jeffrey Portman who also said this, that production is only bested by reproduction. And so again, ask the question, who am I working with? Who am I developing? Who am I pouring into, right? Who am I mentoring and training? And, you know, if you are the only one who knows how to do what you do, there's a problem with that. Because one day you may not be able to do what you do, and then what happens, right?
Right.
And even greater than that is, that means that you're hoarding all of what you do for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're not allowing someone else to experience the joy in that role or that thing that you do, right? A lot of times we do what we do because we enjoy it. Now, there are things on our plates, all of us, that we don't enjoy, but for the most part, there are things that we do that because we really enjoy it. Don't you want someone else to enjoy that thing as well? That part that you get to lead, that group that you get to be a part of. And so think about it. How can you be pulling someone else along with you and apprenticing them to do what you do? So again, ask yourself that question. Who am I working with? Who am I developing, right? Reproduce yourself.
To me, this is just so linked with the giving away responsibility piece that we talked about, is that we're so reluctant sometimes as leaders to give away responsibility because we don't want to see that dip in quality, or we just, you know, we're holding on to because we don't trust that person yet fully to be able to carry that. And there's some truth to that. Like, you need to be able to maybe, you know, trust them earlier than you want to, and whatever. But that reproduction, sometimes we're hesitant as leaders to reproduce ourselves because we know, like, if we can reproduce ourselves, we're going to be able to grow and develop leaders. But there's something in the back of our head that if we work ourselves out of a job, we won't have a job. But that's such a false, like, premise. True. That if we can reproduce ourselves repeatedly, just the job will change. The responsibility will change. We may not be doing the same thing, but we've actually created new jobs for us to be able to do and for those around us. But we kind of get some locked in there a little bit in our mind thinking, I can't reproduce myself or let go of this because then what will I do? But that's just a faulty way of thinking through it.
Yep. So true. So true. Yeah. If we're going to develop our team, we have to be willing to give them every single tool that's in the toolbox and not withhold some of those from them, right? Mm-hmm. And so good. Well, unfortunately, we got to wrap this up. As much fun as this conversation about building our teams is, I hope it's been valuable for those that are listening today. We'd love to hear from you. Something we haven't really talked about, just so that you're aware, is we do have all of the social media handles as well. Whether it's your Facebook follower or you're someone that's on X, which, you know, formerly known as Twitter, or if you're an Instagram user, we're on all of those as well. So we'd love for you to follow us, like and follow us and go on the journey there with us as well. And of course, always subscribe so that these podcasts, when they're available to be downloaded, then they just automatically are downloaded to your listening devices. And again, if this is valuable for you, would you tell somebody? Would you just kind of let them know, hey, I'm listening to this podcast?
Yeah, I think that it's been a joy to be part of this with you. And I can't wait for the next episodes as we kind of continue this journey together. Leaders, you got this. We say it all the time. We believe in you. And until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. We hope this talk inspired and encouraged you in your leadership. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And you can always connect with us at unthinkableleaders.com.